Welcome, everyone, to Authors on the Air. I'm your host, Pam Stack. We are proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. This is a very, very special edition tonight. I can't tell you how excited I am to be talking to my guests about killing Malman. The first thing I want to say is write down this phone number, 347-633-9609. If you were one of the 30 authors who took absolute delight in killing Malman, I'd like you to call in. In 2014, Crime Spree magazine did a flash fiction contest, and the idea of the story was to raise money for the MS Society based on killing down Malman, one of the contributors to the magazine. The book has become a hit. It's published by Down and Out Magazine, Down and Out Publishing, and I'm thrilled to have with me three of the principals of that book. First of all, Kate Malman. Say hi, Kate.
Hi, Kate.
There you go. And then also Dan, the murder victim. Hi, Dan Malman.
Hello, Pam.
And then, of course, everybody knows the magnificent Erin Mitchell, who not only is a voracious reader, she's on the board for BoucherCon, she's a huge promoter, and she also is a contributing writer to Killing Malman. Hi, Erin, how are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
You know, Erin, it was really important for me to invite you on as the guest co-host tonight because you have so many behind-the-scenes stories about killing Dan, and I thought we'd talk about those two, but first I'd like to go to Kate and ask you to tell me about Crime Spree Magazine's flash fiction contest, please.
Yeah, so in 2014, like you said, Crime Spree Magazine decided to do this flash fiction contest. Stories had to be no more, I think, than 1,000 words, and the only requirement for the stories was somewhere in the story, someone by the name of Dan Malman had to die. Didn't care if it happened at the beginning, didn't care if it happened at the end, didn't care how it happened. He just had to die. And it was great. And it was funny watching our parents' reactions to it. So people would be posting their stories online, and Dan would get these phone calls from his mom, and she said, "Are these your friends?" Meanwhile, my mom is calling and she's like, "Get me more of these stories. I can't read enough. I love them."
Oh, that's great.
So, yeah, very, very good for your mother-in-law to enjoy reading about your demise at every turn. So, yeah, so that was in 2014. Flash forward to Murder and Mayhem in Milwaukee 2016. Crime Spree magazine editor John Jordan is talking with Down and Out publisher Eric Campbell, and the Killing Malman contest comes up again. And John's telling him about it and how we got all these great stories. And Eric says, "Well, I would totally publish that." So we said, okay. So we sent him our initial files. And he's like, "This is great, but you don't have nearly enough stories for a book. Get me some more." So then, you know, like when you plan for a wedding, you invite 200 people and you expect 150 to show up.
Correct.
So we invited our author friends to kill Dan, and they all showed up. So we ended up with this wonderful volume. And when we agreed to do it, we said, "Yeah, we're in. Dan can die as many horrible deaths as possible, but it's got to go to a good cause." So we decided that all profits from the book would go to the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, which is an organization that.
Why MS Society?
The MS Society, because I myself have MS. I was diagnosed in 2005, and luckily for me, I'm knocking on every piece of wood that is in our house right now. Luckily for me, I've had a very relatively easy go at it, so I haven't had any of the very negative effects. The worst thing is I don't get to drink alcohol anymore, which I didn't drink very much before, so it wasn't that big of a deal. So the MS Society, as you can imagine now, is very near and dear to our hearts. So that's why we chose that as our charity for the book.
I'm glad that you shared that, because oftentimes when there's a charity anthology, I'm not sure why that particular agency is chosen. And I actually started my life as a physical therapist, and the first charity that I worked for was the MS Society. So, So, you know, it was really important for me to know that. I'm going to kind of welcome Dan to the show. Dan, how did it feel to be repeatedly murdered by your friends?
It's a very odd life. I think our life is, it's just equal parts surreal and awesome and oogie all at the same time. You know, it's you know, I take myself lightly, I take our causes seriously, you know, so it's always been a compliment, you know, I mean, to be name dropped in someone's novel or in a comic book or whatever. And that's like, we're fan people first, you know, everything that we do in the mystery community is from a fan's point of view. So whether we're going to Murder and Mayhem or we're going to a comic book convention, you know, it's to connect with people that have impacted our lives as readers and fans. So it always, thanks for the time, thanks for the signature, and then to think that someone thinks enough about you to put you into one of their works is amazing. And then when the killing started, you know, it's not like Kate was saying, you know, my mom was kind of, what's going on with this? And we had to explain, it's not, they're not killing Dan Melman, they're killing the royal Dan Melman. You know, it's so using it as a prop for the story or to move the plot forward. It's all a big compliment, and you still can't believe that it's happening to you. You know, so especially, you know, we like to hang out in the back, and so all the extra attention is weird. You know, because we're fans first.
Well, having said all that, and that was lovely. But how did you like being killed that many times? And whose murder story was your favorite?
There you
it's
go.
Like
you have
asking
to pick your favorite
to
child
which,
now.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Right. It's your favorite child question. Absolutely. Or
and
which
you have
puppy
to say Aaron because she's on the phone.
Well, yeah, plus exactly. I've got that knife. Oh, wait, I'm not supposed to mention that. No, never mind. No.
Never mind. What was my favorite?
Well, let me ask you this then. Let me change the question up. Were you surprised at how many different ways you could be killed?
Oh yeah. I mean, that's the awesome part of being, you know, part of this creative community. You know, I mean, if the fun part of an anthology with a theme is to say, okay, everybody's got to use this rock somehow in the story.
Right.
And you know, and holy cow, you know, there's a reason we're readers and not writers, because I couldn't think of those ideas. You know, I mean,
I hear that.
Yeah.
Well, and Dan is being very humble there, because I have to tell you, the best time I ever had getting a book signed was for Dan, and he wrote the best inscription ever. Brad Meltzer was coming to town.
Oh, yeah.
And Dan sent me some books to get Brad to sign. And I said to Dan, well, is there any particular way you'd like him to sign them? Just, you know, assuming he has time and everything. So Dan sent me a proposed inscription. And I dutifully brought the books up to Mr. Meltzer, and I explained that he had this huge fan and his name was Dan, and, you know, would he please sign these books? And Brad, being the wonderful person that he is, was more than happy to do so. And he got to one book in particular, and I said, I have a special inscription for that one that he'd like. And he said, oh yeah, sure. What is it? And I said, to Dan, the Batman to my Robin. And Brad burst out laughing and proceeded to sign the book exactly that way. So I think that's a brilliant inscription. So when Dan says he's not a writer, that's not completely true.
You picked the perfect person to ask to do that too, because Brad has such a great sense of humor. And, you know,
for
and
sure.
So good for you. Aaron, tell us some backstories, please, because I know you know these two well, and you said to me, oh, Pam, you've got to ask them about this and that, and I figured, you know, why don't you just ask yourself, tell us some stuff that you know. Dish the dirt, baby.
Well,
this is your time.
I tell you, it's one of the things that is most special to me about Dan and Kate, not to get too mushy, is that, you know, I think they're people I met, like a lot of the crime fiction community, people I met online.
Right.
And, you know, you've got these two regular, you know, relatively regular folks in Minnesota, and they have their lives, and they have Franklin, who's their dog, who's wonderful, and they're living their lives, and all of a sudden, they're sort of, you know, taken over by this community online, and they have taken it so in their stride and just embraced and become such an integral part of the community that I think it's really quite amazing. But Dan and Kate, I think you guys need to tell us the story of when you first met the Jordans, because that was a huge act of faith, you know?
Yeah.
That's the Stranger Danger story.
It is.
Okay.
And it's all
okay. So Dish, who's telling the story?
Kate's telling the story.
Okay. So we're on our way. It starts out kind of morose, where we're on our way home to go to my grandmother's funeral. And it's right at the dawn of Twitter. And we're in the airport waiting to fly out to Milwaukee. And Dan's reading, I think it was The Blonde by...
Oh, The Wheelman.
Wheelman, I'm sorry. The Wheelman by Dwayne Swierczynski. And I step away to the restroom, and while I'm gone, Dan, like, does whatever. I come back, and Dan's, like, jumping up and down. He says, you won't believe what happened. He said, I was gone for 5 minutes. What on earth could you have done? He's like, I tweeted at Dwayne Swierczynski, and he replied. Like, wow, that's cool. I had no idea that was a thing that Twitter could do. So as he and Swierczynski are having, you know, Twitter conversations, this guy, this crime spree John, keeps, you know, coming in and barging in on the conversations, and find out that he runs a magazine and he's in Milwaukee. And finally it gets to the point where it comes, you know, that was in January that summer. We're heading home to visit my parents, who live in southeastern Wisconsin, so they're about an hour north of Milwaukee. And Dan shoots this crime spree John a note. He's like, hey, we're on our way to Milwaukee, or on our way to Wisconsin to visit family. Does crime spree have a storefront? We'd love to stop in and say hi. John replies with, no, we don't have a storefront, but we'd love to have dinner. To which Dan drops the computer, screams out Stranger Danger. He's like, what?
No, we're Minnesotans. Everybody is at an arm's length. No, but so if we haven't even met you face, don't invite me over to a meal. You know, that's a shocking development.
Yeah, so we go to visit my parents, and it comes the time when we settled on lunch. We're like, it's a daytime meal. They're not going to leave us in Lake Michigan, tied up to a buoy in the middle of the night. Here, it's going to be daylight when we get there. It's going to be daylight when we leave. So we give my parents all the information. We're like, this is the restaurant we're going to. This is who we're meeting. This is when we should be back. Here's the phone number for the Milwaukee Police Department if we don't come back. So we go down to Milwaukee and meet up with them, and they were the most incredibly kind, gracious people. John had a big grocery bag full of books for us, because that's what you do. So then, just to make the whole world just a little bit smaller, as we were talking, Dan and John were talking about getting together, and that I grew up in Sheboygan, and oh, well, his wife lived in Sheboygan. Okay, what's her last name? Flannery. Okay, well, that was Kate's speech coach in high school, was Miss Flannery. Yep, that's Ruth's mom. So Ruth's mom was my high school speech coach.
God.
So, yeah.
Weirder and weirder.
Yeah. And honestly, since then, it's just been like hit the ground running, that they opened up their home to us. They've opened up this entire community to us. So none of this really, none of this would have happened if Dan hadn't, on a whim, sent a message to Dwayne Straczynski.
Dwayne talks about you a lot. We discussed you on when I interviewed him. He's a pretty funny guy. I like him an awful lot. Aaron, what other questions? I'm turning this over to you since you know these two so well.
Well, I think that you guys had, when you started editing this collection of stories, it seemed like you really threw yourselves into it. And understandably, was there anything through that process that was most interesting, difficult, easy? I know, like, I wouldn't imagine you did a lot of really heavy editing in terms of the stories themselves. But how was that process? And, was there anything that you two disagreed about?
Well, I think, we went in, a hat in hands first. So, I mean, it's a charity project. There wasn't any money involved, for the contributors. So we went in with the idea that we were asking folks who write for a living to do that thing that they get paid for normally and the hours that it takes to produce that and give it to us for free. So, we went in with that intent. Like, hey, we've got in the works. We would love to have you as part of the project. And some people had to say no. I mean, these are working writers. And we understood that. When it got to the nuts and bolts of it, and then Eric and Donna, who was, so mellow and so easy and so gracious to work with, they're like, well, you need a cover. We're like, yeah, books have covers. Isn't there a cover department or something? I don't know. Where do covers come from?
The cover store.
The cover store, yeah.
The cover store, of course.
Yeah. They're like, well, what are your ideas about? I'm like, my idea is to talk to a professional who does stuff like that. So that was another piece that kind of happened without it. Yeah, so that was kind of a mini panic. So that's when we reached out to Eric Dietner, who was, back in 2014, he was actually the first one to contribute the story to the contest. And then he does a lot of this other type of production work as well. And I was like,
he's a talented guy for sure. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. And we're like, hey, what do you know about covers? And he's like, I know some stuff. And so we started throwing ideas out, and he just gave us, an amazing cover. I kept him and created an awesome. But then, if you've seen the cover, it's a pixelated image to it. The weirdest part, the most surreal part, was all of us sitting around emails talking about how many pixels should go on my face.
And what's the answer? How many pixels are in your face?
How many pixels are in your face, Dan, by the way? Do you recall?
Well, I don't know. I didn't count them. It gets to the center of the tip top, I guess. But, so we had all these emails teams back and forth. Should we blow it out some more? Should we add more pixels or less? Why is the pixels the hardest part of the book? But it was just a whole other revelation.
Move away from your wife a little bit and talk more into your phone because you're fading in and out. So I just want to make sure we can hear you clearly. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sure. Now, is this better?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. No, it was the big email chain about pixels on my face. That was something that I never anticipated and never thought we would even talk about.
I want to remind everyone that I'm talking to Dan and Kate Melman about Killing Melman, and my special guest is Aaron Mitchell. We'd love for you to call in if you participated in bumping the guy off. The number is 347-633-9609. Kate, did you enjoy editing these stories? Did you feel pressure doing this?
I did and I didn't. Because like Erin had mentioned, we didn't do any editing of the actual stories themselves.
Sure.
Like we weren't sending notes back saying, you know, this scene needs to be bigger and this character makes no sense, because we're readers first. So we just give me the story and I'm happy to read it. I did some of the copy editing, and there were a couple things where I had to send notes back to the contributors and say, hey, this pronoun changed here. What do you want here? Or, you know, this character is named this person and then they are named this person. What do you want? So I was looking for more consistency, things like that.
Sure.
And that I really enjoyed. I love me a good Excel spreadsheet. So I got to use a spreadsheet of like, these are the authors we have received contracts from, and these are the authors that we've received stories from, and these people have extensions. So getting to track that was like really like hit my buttons, and I was very excited to get to track that. But so I've read the entire book, I think, twice, cover to cover, some stories three times because they were the originals, so I had to go back and read them a second time. But no, I enjoyed getting to read it. And there were a couple stories where I thought, well, I'm very happy that these people are in the story or in the book. And some of the stories just were not too, you know, I enjoyed all the stories, let's just say. I had a really good time reading everything.
I'm glad.
And seeing, you know, like Dan said, all the incredibly different ways Dan could meet his maker. And what I thought was amazing was there are 30 stories, not once, I think, do they repeat a method.
How adorable is that? Erin, talk about your story, please.
You know, it's funny because I'm not a murderous kind of person normally.
Normally,
exactly. But I think part of what drew everybody to the idea of killing Dan was the absurdity of it. You know, we could have fun with it because, you know, who in their right minds would ever want to do Dan any harm whatsoever? It's just, you know, it's sort of that.
Whoa, Erin.
That
okay. Well, okay. Go down there.
Present company accepted.
Oh my God!
So
may I ask?
It was more.
How did you kill off Dan? Give us a hint.
Well, you know, it's interesting because it's not actually specified. The characters in my story. One of them definitely has it out for Dan, and the other is accidentally along for the ride. And it is never completely clear exactly how he met his demise, although it does involve quite a bit of blood. And it was, you know, one of the reviews of the book that I read pointed out that one of the great things about it is that for people reading these stories, whether they know Dan or not, there are elements in each of the stories that are very personal and specific to Dan.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't know him, then they're just, you know, they're interesting tidbits that make these characters really jump off the page. And if you do know him, then you recognize these little Easter eggs in the story. You know, for example, mine has a reference to potato flakes because Dan had an encounter once upon a time.
So tell me about that, because that was what I was curious about. I couldn't reconcile, unless you were shoving them down his throat to choke him or something. I just really couldn't understand that post of yours. So what's the potato flakes story?
Well, this is, you know, one of the great things about knowing people online is that, you know, sometimes you'll do a post or a tweet that, you know, you think is completely innocuous, but it sticks with people.
Yes.
And, you know, once upon a time, Dan was left on his own when it came to dinner.
Oh my God.
And you know,
that's a crime fiction mystery.
There were mashed potatoes required for dinner, and there were potato flakes, and something went horribly wrong. And I can't even remember the exact details of it, but Dan posted something about the potato flake disaster. And I just found it so hilarious that it stuck with me. and it was, so now anytime, you know, anytime there's any mention of the Malmans having dinner, it's okay, take keep Dan away from the potato flakes.
There you go. So you mentioned this in your, let me ask this. Dan, when you were reading the stories, did you recognize the Easter egg, as Aaron referred to it, in each story?
Oh, sure. I mean, it's, cause that's the there's a lot of ribbing going on, you know, and they're all gentle fun digs, I hope. You know, so whether it's going to, like Brad Parks. Brad Parks kicks off the anthology, and, you know, his character, Dan Melman, is a 6'5", you know, home run hitter, MVP baseball player for the Minnesota Twins. I'm 5'7", and I come in at 140, you know, but I love baseball, you know. So it's, some people say I enjoy a good Kit Kat now and then, you know, and so there's many references to throughout the book of characters with a sugar fix. So, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff. My hope, though, when we put it together, was that, you know, we knew there was going to be fun stuff like potato flakes and baseball and
sure.
candy, but it was still a product that we were putting out to raise money, and I wanted people to enjoy it who didn't know me. And a lot of folks online, like when some reviews had gone up, Benoit for Dead End Follies, for example, had posted a review, and folks were talking with him and flat out asked, they're like, is this something that people would enjoy if they don't know us? And I think for as much fun as people had with it, they put quality first, and that was very important.
Well, I want to add my, you know, 6 degrees of separation. One of my daytime jobs is as a personal coach, and my office is right next to the Minnesota Twins training stadium in Fort Myers.
You said you were in Fort Myers, and I knew that.
I am right next door. I drive in the morning and see the boys of summer on their practice field and hear their games, which start, I think, February 2nd or some 22nd maybe, is when their first minor league game starts. So I just thought you'd know that, you know, there's no coincidence in life, I think. Do you want to do another? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, no, go ahead.
No, continue.
I was just going to say, you know, the sports, along the sports theme, you know, another fantastic example of how Dan and Kate embrace the world and life around them. We were lucky enough to have them come and visit. God, when was it, guys? It was a while back now, wasn't it?
It was almost 2 years ago.
That's right. Yeah. So, and through a series of conversations, you know, my husband decided that Dan really needed to be a Tottenham Hotspur fan.
Oh,
yes. adding to his Tottenham Hotspur, they're a soccer team in London.
Oh, okay.
I know, right?
And you're talking to an idiot here about sports. I mean, I know basketball, but I don't have a television, so I couldn't tell you anything about them.
It's the sports ball. This the sports ball that you kick with the feet. That's
I get that. I understand the game. I've just never heard of them. You know.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But Dan, God love him, embraced it and is now knows way more about Spurs than anybody I know. And I know people who followed them their whole lives, you know.
Wow.
It was cool to be in the future, by the way.
Well, and Dan, I want to also tell you the Red Sox are down the street from me too, or right down the street from where I live. So, you know, I get a double whammy with spring training and minor league games with traffic.
There's like 3 inches of snow outside in Minnesota, and it's about 27 degrees. So you're absolutely dying here.
It's 75 degrees out right now. My windows are open. It's an absolutely gorgeous day.
Wonderful.
It is nice, and Erin will attest to it. We live in a beautiful area for sure, even though she's a little bit north of me. Listen, what's next for all of you? Erin, I know that you're working on putting together the Boucher St. Pete. Kate, what's going on with you?
What's going on? I think you were starting to ask if there's plans for another anthology, and
yes.
We don't have it right now. We're just kind of seeing where this one goes. We were just the two of us kicking around the idea of that the next volume, if there is one, is to be The Widow Melman. And it's
on
a revenge killing spree. So
I love that.
Dan, I have to go through. Now they have to make me go and kill that person that killed Dan.
I love that. What a great
idea.
That's
perfect.
It is perfect. That's magnificent. Dan, what's happening with you? What's next on your agenda?
Well, it's been like this huge bucket list year. I mean, again, and I keep harping on it, you know, being Sam's first, when the book deal got signed, then we got the experience of getting the books on your doorstep and opening up a cardboard box and having your creation looking back at you. And then I did a signing on publication day, you know, and then another signing and event. I went to Point Play, our most favorite indie bookstore in Minnesota. So, I mean, it's like everything that happened on this whole trail has been, you know, a landmark event, and it's all happening, and it's all happening in such a 1 year span. So, I mean, I really just want to make sure that people enjoy this piece, and I wouldn't even dream on a sequel. You know, it's like I'm done. If Kate wants to be a target, that's fantastic. But the thing we were saying is, you know, what kind of doofus puts his own face on the cover of a book? And I mean, it's a lot mentally, and so I want the MS Society to have a fantastic Christmas check ride, you know, based off of this. And I would love to be background support for the next project. Let's put it that way.
I love it. Well, I have to tell you that to pat my own back for just a second, Authors on the Air created a press division. We published an anthology for a cause this year also. And so I understand the thrill that comes when authors contribute to your dream. And so I'm thrilled that it happened to you. I'm thrilled that it's so successful and that everybody is raving about it. And Kate, honest to God, I hope that you get your picture on the next book with a knife or, you know, a plethora of weapons tucked all and around you in like a long coat and just this crazy warrior woman intent on revenge. It would be so sweet.
I'm thinking more like a Charlie's Angel something.
There you go. I like the idea.
Yeah.
Erin, let's wrap this up. What have you got to say about these people and killing Malman?
I tell you a couple of things. First of all, I've been through some health stuff myself, so I cannot emphasize enough the value and importance of supporting organizations like the MS Society who are doing research that will directly impact Kate's life. And every year Kate does a bicycle ride. Now I am, as someone who is incredibly lazy, I am in such awe that she gets on that bike and man, she rides. Is it 100 miles? It's really,
no.
Really far.
It's 40 miles.
Well, that might as well be 100. Really, really far.
That
exactly.
might be a might as well be. Yeah,
it is. I've done 100 miles. 40 miles is nothing compared to 100 miles.
Well, I think it's, you know, reading this book is a joy and a gift, and the fact that it benefits such an important organization, I think, is makes it even more worthwhile. And I want to, I want to thank Dan and Kate as well for being such a wonderful, supportive, funny, friendly, brave members of the crime fiction community. It's just, you know, we would all be lesser were it not for them. We would all be worse off without them. And despite having killed Dan in a myriad of gruesome ways, you know, it's only because we love you guys. And it's, you know, really, we can't thank you enough for all that you do.
Well, coming from someone who's a kind of a newbie, I've only been involved in the crime fiction community, as I say, for almost 6 years. March will be 6 years. I'm honored to meet you both and to talk to you on the air. I'm glad that you're here. I'm a prolific reader. You can be assured I'm now going to go and gift a couple of your books to friends who have not had a chance to read it. And your book is sitting in front of me. So thank you. And come back anytime and talk. And, you know, anytime you want to discuss crime fiction or if there's somebody new and exciting on your radar, let's talk about it. And let's, Kate, talk about the MS Society and other organizations that that have benefited from this wonderful, rich community of crime fiction writers. It's an amazing thing. It really is.
Well, thank you, Pam.
You're welcome. Erin, for all you do, I'm thrilled beyond words that you've chosen to take your day off and come on the show today. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
I look forward to our continued friendship on Facebook and to meeting you all in person. Thanks for being with me, everyone. I have just enjoyed the heck out of myself, and I, you know, kind of have the urge to kill Dan too. So, you know. Even though I'm a reader, I read about 400 books a year, but I bet I could pick apart 1,000-word stories and figure out if killing Malman is as much fun as it sounds like.
It can be kind of cathartic.
I think it must be. Thanks a lot for being with me tonight, Dan and Kate. Erin, you've been a terrific co-host. Thank you very much, all of you. And by the way, happy holidays. And we'll talk in the new year, okay?
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much, Pam.
It's my pleasure. Good night, everyone. And thanks for listening in, folks. I'm glad you were here. Happy holidays. I have a show next Wednesday afternoon at 4 o'clock. You'll hear more about it. Thanks for listening, and thank you, Mom and Dad. Good night.